And nobody likes to see that, but unfortunately, part of this life and us being in this life means sickness, and that's just a part of it. The longer we're on this earth, the more sickness we're going to see. And isn't that right, brother? That's what the book says. So anyway, but the blessed hope and a comfort is that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world." So what a blessing, what a promise, and what a wonderful Savior that we have. Amen. Good, good Savior that loves us, and He takes such good care of us. All right, let's get right into the message tonight, and then we'll take up some prayer requests at the end, and then we'll adjourn. But Joshua chapter 10, if you got your Bibles, you want to go with me. And I'm going to be kind of quick tonight. I'm going to have to read several verses here. We're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 27. So, going to be some reading, but I think this is something that we need to cover. Now, it's kind of weird that I kind of felt led in this direction because Sunday morning, whenever we preached on the great, or Sunday morning, Sunday evening, whenever we preached on the greatest controversy, it was about the flesh. It was about the controversial struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Well, tonight, by the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you for a few minutes on five kings, and I just want to preach to you about these five kings. And you're going to find that the five kings, they line up with your senses, and we'll get into all that in just a minute. All right, Joshua chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua, and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said, In the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that day before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled, and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, "Open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave." And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, "Come near, put your feet upon the necks of those these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight." And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain even until this very day. Now, Father, again, we ask your help now. We thank you for this blessing of being able to be in church tonight. May you bless your word, bless your people. And, Father, we pray you'd just send comfort, Father, that you'd watch over Brother Bill up there in Highlands. Lord, just give him strength, Father, and give him comfort and encouragement. And, Father, be with his family, Lord. Just put your arms around them, Lord. Love on them. Let them know you're there, that you ain't left them. You're right there beside them through all. Lord, we thank you for this church and the family environment. Thank you for the tight-knit group that we have. We lean one upon another, Father, but most importantly, we're glad we can lean upon you. And, Father, we pray tonight that your will would be done, that your mercy and grace would extend, and we'll be sure to give you all the thanks and the praise, for it is in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. All right. Five kings. Now, we see in the first few verses here, just in the first five verses, we see the joining of Gibeon with Joshua. Now, in the previous chapter, you read about the event that took place where the Gibeonites traveled and they came, but they came with old tattered clothes and old moldy bread and the wine and all this stuff. And they began to tell Joshua, you know, "Look, we're some people that come from a long ways off and we need you to help us out." And Joshua, without consulting the Lord, wound up with these people as a liability to himself, and now he has to take care of them. And it was kind of a deal where he wound up with the short end of the stick there. I mean, these people of Gibeon were considering themselves helpless, and so they thought, "Well, we know that this guy and this group of people are capable of a lot of great things. What the Lord's doing with them. I mean, he gave them Jericho, he's given them Ai." And now here they're, you know, fixing to go look into the faces of these other five kings, you know. So if there was ever somebody who'd be, you know, I'd want to be on their side, it'd be this group of people, Israel, go find some refuge. But you see the joining of Gibeon with Joshua, because in verse 2 it says, "They feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty." So when it comes to these five kings, a couple of things I want you to realize is you need to put yourself in the place of these Gibeonites. Put yourself in the shoes of these people of Gibeon. Because we get a little background about them. Number one, you find it says that the Gibeonites were mightier than the people of Ai. Well, the people of Ai went and beat Israel the first time around. I mean, they went and had their confrontation with Israel the first time, and they beat Israel. 36 men lost their lives. Well, then when Israel went back, after having made things right between them and God, the Lord delivered Ai into the hands of the Israelites. Well, this was a city of people that was greater than the people of Ai, but they had enough common sense about them that they realized, you know what, our strength and everything that we count on within ourselves is not going to be enough to match what God's doing with this group of people. And listen, that's exactly what I think you and I could, we need to understand something, and we've kind of pushed this a little bit the last month or so that we've been preaching, is that our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. We don't have the capability to stand on our own two feet. Amen. I like that old song, "I Can't Even Walk Without Him Holding My Hand." I love that song. Just two little old verses and a couple of choruses, but boy, just a great message in that song. The fact that, I mean, Bible even said that the steps, even the steps of a man have to be ordered by the Lord. So I need God to, and see, I need the Lord to order my steps. I need Him to guide my steps, and then I need Him to help me make each step. I need Him to make sure that I put the foot in the right spot, and I have to make sure that I got myself in fellowship with Him constantly so that I know the direction I'm walking in. And the place that I'm trying to go to is the place He wants me in. So these people here, they may have gotten in a little bit deceitfully. I mean, they come in and they lied to Joshua. You know, they said, "We're come from a long ways off. Look, the bread's old and moldy. It was fresh baked the day we left. Look at our clothes. I mean, they were brand new when we pulled out of there. But and look, I mean, all the wine's all nasty and it's all aged now and everything." Like, He said, "It was brand new when we pulled out of the house, you know." He says, "But listen," He said, we need you to make a league with us. We just need, you know, I mean, we'll be your servants." We're not looking to get, you know, we're not looking to get anything as far as any of your inheritance or anything like that. He said, we just need somebody to, you know, take care of us, protect us. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot like a Christian. Amen. Lord, I just, you know, I don't want to make like I could stand on my own two feet here, Lord, but I just want to be honest with you. I just soon get under your protection and know where I'm going is going to be took care of as opposed to trying to make it on my own and stand the chance of losing everything I got. And that includes, you know, it's a blessing about getting in Christ, especially when you're saved and your family's saved and everything. You know what's a blessing about that? Is you're in Christ and your wife's in Christ, your husband's in Christ, your children's in Christ. I mean, mind you, they all saved. And that's a great blessing knowing that whenever you get in the Lord, it's everything. I'm thankful that the Lord, that whenever Paul over there in Acts 16, whenever the Philippian jailer has thought all those prisoners had escaped and he woke up and there's the door standing wide open and he's getting ready to fall on himself and Paul said, "Hey man, don't hurt yourself, we're all still here." The guy took the light, called for a light, jumped down the middle of all of them and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." So one of the blessings about it is it's an individual thing, but man, the whole family can get in on it. And that's what these Gibeonites, I think they understood. They had enough sense to know that their strength is what, you know, they said, "Well, we're a mightier group than the people of Ai, and Ai beat Israel once. I mean, we may be the exception to the rule." But down in verse 4 it says, "Come up unto me and help me that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua." Now, isn't that something? That right there caught my attention because it didn't say that they made peace with Israel. Now, it said that in the first verse. He says that in the first verse. He said, the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. Well, listen, as a lost individual, the Bible says as a Gentile, you and I were separated from the commonwealth of Israel. But see, here it says that whenever they made peace, the reason these five kings had a problem with the Gibeonites was because these Gibeonites had made peace, according to verse 4, with Joshua. And Joshua is the Old Testament way of saying Jesus. Because Joshua and Jesus are both spelt the exact same way in Hebrew and pronounced the same way. Yeshua. And so, whenever I looked at this, I saw a group of people here who, not only that, but in verse 7, or I'm sorry, back up a page and look at chapter 9 in verse 7. He says, "And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites," now, he's talking about Gibeon. He's talking about them people from Gibeon. He says, "And the men of Israel said unto the Gibeonites, peradventure ye dwell among us, how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said to him, from a very far country." But see, they're Gibeonites. And these Gibeonites, he called them Hivites. And if you remember, whenever Israel was getting ready to go into the land, the Lord told them, He said, you're going to drive out the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Girgashites. And He said, you're going to drive them all out. That's why Joshua wound up strapped with these people, because he made a league with them under God. And whenever he did, he wound up strapped with a bunch of Gentiles, because that's who these Hivites were. There's just a great picture of your and my position in Christ in this passage, because you've got Joshua, which is Jesus Christ in the New Testament, Jesus in the New Testament, and that name means Jehovah saves. And whenever you have Joshua, who's had peace made between him and a Gentile group of people who couldn't make it on their own, and now five kings are coming up against this group of people because they made peace with Joshua. And these five kings are a great representation of your five senses. Five kings, and you got five senses, all of it adding up to what is your flesh. So when you made peace with Joshua, and your soul became knit to his, and your well-being and your care then became dependent upon his goodness and his mercy and his willingness, the five kings did not like that at all. And it stirred them up. It stirred them up. But you notice something now. You notice that in verse 6 it says, the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. They acknowledge the fact that, you know what, without his help we're going to be overtaken. You know, there's a lot of times that Christians' problem is they don't have enough sense to admit that they need help. And it ain't so, and when I say that, I'm not saying that they're going, you know, belligerently saying, well, I don't need the Lord, and I don't need, no, I ain't talking about that. They say, man, I acknowledge that I need God for everything, and I need the Lord. Yeah, but you don't have, but see, the thing is they have a problem when somebody steps up to them and says, hey, I'd like to help you out if you don't mind. No, I'm good, I'm alright. So, see, a lot of times people's problem is they don't get the help they need because they're too belligerent to admit that they need it. Now, the Lord's got me. Yeah, the Lord does got you, but the Lord's got me too, and He's wanting me to help you. Amen? He wants me to help you. But you see a promise here. Now, the Lord told him, He said in verse 8, the Lord said to Joshua, fear them not. Who? The five kings. He says, don't be afraid of them. A lot of times I think Christians hold back from what they do to commit to the Lord and commit themselves to the Lord. A lot of times they do that because they're afraid of what it's going to cost them down the road. They're scared to say, well, you know what, I'm going to step out on faith and I'm going to do this, and I don't know what the outcome's going to be, and I don't know what it could cost me down the road, but I'm going to do it anyway because I love the Lord. And a lot of times people won't do that because they're afraid of what's going to cost them. The Lord told them right here. And you know what? The cost that they fear is never a spiritual cost. They always fear the physical cost. Am I going to get sick? Am I going to lose a loved one? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose my security? Am I going to lose this? Am I going to lose that? They fear that physical loss. And the Lord's over here telling them, He says, don't be afraid of them. Who? The five kings. Don't be afraid of what you hear. Don't be afraid of what you see. Don't be afraid of what you smell or what you taste. Don't be afraid of what you can touch. You don't be afraid of that stuff. He said, I've got it all well in hand. He said, you're asking me for help. Now trust me to help you. That's what, and that's sometimes the hardest thing in the world for a Christian to do, is to say, Lord, I need help. And He says, okay, you're going to let me help you? Yeah, I want you to help me, but, and then, well, what's the but? You know what? It would have been one thing if Gibeon had come to Joshua and said, we want to make a peace league with you because we can't do it on our own. And Joshua would say, all right, that's fine. My armies will take care of you. I will protect you. I'll fight your battles for you, and I'll do it all. And you say, okay, that sounds great. And then a battle come up, and you say, hang on, let me see if I can get it. And if I can't, then you come in and you take care of it. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are like that. And they step in when they think they can handle it on their own. And then when they get knocked on their tail, they, well, where was the Lord? He He's standing back there in your corner watching you get your tail whooped, waiting on you to let him step in and take care of the problem to begin with, like you asked him to. I came to him, and the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, and then to turn around and say, well, Lord, let me see if I can handle this one. Or, Lord, I just don't think this is big enough that it merited me bothering you. I don't care how big or small it is. If I'm supposed to be completely and totally dependent and reliant upon Him, that should mean from the biggest things to the littlest things. Whatever it is. Fully, totally dependent. Alright, so now I want you to notice this too. Because here you know how this story is going, and I'm kind of moving along through this kind of quick. I'm trying not to take too long. But I do want you to understand one thing, that even when Joshua came through and he did what he said he was going to do, now these people acknowledged, we need your help, come up quickly and help us. And Joshua did. You read about it. But then I want you to notice that just because these five kings didn't win this round, they didn't die. Yet. Because in verse 16 it says, but these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And sometimes, beloved, that's the best thing for you and me, is to get our flesh and just get it stuck in a cave somewhere and pile a big old bunch of rocks at the face of it and say, now y'all just stay here. We don't need you out here running amok, getting in our way. Defeat doesn't mean complete destruction. That's not going to happen until we check out of here. As long as we're in this life, and like we was talking about right here before we started, the unfortunate thing about being in this life is the longer you're in this world, the more things are going to come about and things are going to happen. The longer you live, the more you're going to get sick. Amen. The longer you're on this earth, the weaker we're going to get. This body ain't meant to last forever. These bodies will not last forever. They're meant to expire. And there's a reason for that. It makes you look forward to that new one you're going to get. Amen? You're going to have a new one that you're going to get one day, and you're not going to have to worry about being bound to this thing that's painful and it aches. And I mean, you have to pretty much kick it out of the bed of a morning. And I don't know, some of y'all may be just like, I mean, Denise may be so used to it. There's some people, I say this, it's snooze, 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 snooze. You know, there's some people, I think they're like robots. Instead of waking up in the morning, they don't wake up, they just power on. You know, they reach over, and they just sit up, and their eyes open, and they're, let's do this. And me, I'm like, It goes off, and I'm like, hurry, snooze. And I look at my watch, and it says 5 o'clock, and I'm like, man, if I want, to get a little bit of time in with the Lord, I better get up. And this morning, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what it was. I must have set the temperature wrong or something in that apartment, and I ain't quite figured it out how to keep that thing warm all the time. But whenever me and Heather got into bed last night, I laid down, and when my eyes shut, I was out. And when I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, I went to sit up, and it felt like somebody turned the ice box on. Our bedroom was just a cold room. Katie's over there in her crib, and she's got 4 blankets around her, and we've got the heater turned towards her. She's as warm as a bug in a rug. And Heather, she's over there wrapped up under the covers, and I'm over here sitting there with my legs over the side of the bed trying to find the will to get out of the bed, because that's all hardwood floor in that apartment, and I'm trying to think about, okay, if I mean, I'm standing on a rug right now, but if I hot-footed out the bedroom, through the kitchen, and into the living room, I know it's warm in there because the propane heater's burning in there. So I know it's going to be warm. And I mean, I laid there, and I'll just be honest with you. You know what I did? After a few minutes, I said, whew, Lord, I can pray right here. And I just threw my legs back under the covers and pulled them back over. And I said, Lord, I just thank you so much. Lord, what a blessing. Lord, hallelujah for the, you know, just a home. Thank you for a new day. And, you know. So, you know, this whole flesh, man, I tell you, the thing that we have to realize is you get victories over this thing. This thing comes with fights. It comes with battles, but you get victories. But these victories don't always mean complete victory. You're not ever going to have complete victory over this until this life is over. And I tell you, sometimes, I mean, sometimes it's hard to it's hard to see the things that we see. We've been hearing all these reports of these folks that are sick and folks that are going through things. I mean, I think about Brother Rex Allen, and here he is over there on hospice, and the poor fellow's just, I mean, he's weak and everything like that. And you know, I hate that people have to go through things like that, but you know something? You look at that and you go through that and you watch these people go through those things, and the one thing that you constantly have in your mind is, when this thing is over, when it's all over, they want it to be over. You ever thought about that? I can't think about it from my standpoint right now. I mean, as logic goes, I'm supposed to still have a lot of time ahead of me. I'm supposed to. I mean, I turned 34 on Monday, and I'm supposed to have a lot of time ahead of me. But you know, for some people, the reality of another 20 or 30 years is not there. And you know what I've learned by talking to some of these folks, as their years click off and go and go and go, I find that they become more and more and more looking forward to going home, because they're going to get that new body, and that they're going to be able to put these five kings down, and they're going to put it off, and they're not going to be plagued by it anymore. Now listen, as a younger person, I'm looking forward to going home to heaven and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And it excites me that I'm not going to have to worry about yielding my members as instruments to unrighteousness anymore. But as far as dealing with the sickness and the weakness and that sort of thing, I can't relate to that just yet. But there's a lot of folks that can. A lot of y'all. I know y'all. Yeah, I mean, so I could sit here and talk about, my Lord, I'm so tired. And somebody would sit here and say, well, I remember when, you know. I remember we did it 5 miles uphill both ways, snow barefooted. You know, I remember every bit of it. Well, it ain't uphill for me, because I've already been told it just goes downhill from here. So, you know, and I got two people ahead of me in here that's watching out for the roadblock. So, you know, if I hit a pothole and it derails me, I'm blaming them. All right, because they didn't tell me. They didn't hop, heads up, preacher, you know. Watch out, low bridge, you know, and crack my head on the branches. We're trying to duck underneath. But the thing I loved about this is, watch this. In verse 12, he says, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still." The thing I loved about this is, when it comes to the battle of these five kings, the one thing that happens is the sun stood still, giving light longer. They made that day, it made that day last. John 3:19 made it clear that the reason men love darkness rather than light is because their deeds are evil. And the five kings didn't want the... I guarantee you that when the sun didn't set, those five... I mean, do you remember... Do you remember over there in Acts 27 when the Apostle Paul's in the middle of that storm and that ship is tossing to and fro, and it said, and they were in the middle of the night watch, and here it was, just storm raging. I mean, you could just see it in your mind's eye. Lightning striking, thunder's rolling, the waves are pitching. It's black as all get out. You can't see in front of you. You don't know what's going on. The only time you ever get a clear glimpse of anything is when a lightning flashes off in the distance and it lights up the whole horizon. That's the only time you ever see anything. And the Apostle Paul said that they girded up they buckled down some things, they threw some things overboard, and they fastened themselves down, and it says, and they wished for the day. You know, I almost wonder if these Gibeonites were, or if these five kings weren't in that manner in some way. Here they are with they're facing opposition, but the opposition is not with the Gibeonites. The opposition is with Joshua. He's the one who's standing up to defend these Gibeonites, because they're not strong enough to take on these five kings. And beloved, can I tell you something? That there's just going to be times, more likely than not, when you and I ain't going to have the energy to be up, stand up against the five kings. And you and I ain't going to have the ability nor the fortitude to put the five kings down. So bless God we've got Joshua. Amen. And Joshua will step in, and he'll take on the confrontation with the five kings. But the thing that I often wondered about this when I looked at it is, I saw these five kings, and now here they're in a confrontation with Joshua. They want one with me. They want a confrontation with Gibeon. But they're getting one with Joshua, because Gibeon is now sold under Joshua. And they're sitting here now getting the daylights beat out of them by the only thing that could take care of them. And now they're sitting here just saying, my goodness, I would give anything if this day would just end. You ever had one of those? Man, what I wouldn't give if this day would just end. And here Joshua says, hey, I need that light to stand still up there for a little while. I still got some business to take care of. And the Lord says, good idea. And these five kings are standing there in the light. They want the dark. They want it to get dark. They want this to be over. Because they love darkness rather than light. Why? Their deeds are evil. The five kings' deeds are evil, and they want this day to be over with. But as long as that light's shining on them, that day ain't over. And that's what they want. They want the day to end, but the Bible says the sun stood still. Someone may not want the light on them, and the reason is because they don't like what they see. I mean, the five kings, I mean, you hear the word king, and you automatically think this must be somebody of importance. But that don't mean that these guys are of any importance at all. Now we see the end of this thing come around, that the execution of them, the five kings, the five kings are bound, and with the five kings bound, what it does is it frees up the believer to fight the good fight of faith. Because you see what happens over here in verse 16, it says, but these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. Joshua said. It didn't say Joshua did. It said Joshua said. What did he do? He gave a command. He said, Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. All right? And stay ye not. He says, don't you hang around here. What does he say for you to do? It says, pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into the cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hands. Man, you talk about binding that thing down, putting the halter on that flesh and holding it in its place. And what does that free you up to do? Go on and face the spiritual battle that you're really in. Because you're not in this for flesh and blood. You're in this against the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. All right? So come on down to 25 now. We're wrapping this thing up. Verse 25, he says this, and Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. All right, when you're given victory over those kings, don't be afraid to claim the victory. And that's another thing Christians have a problem with. They have a problem claiming the victory because they're afraid of the backlash. And the Bible says you claim the victory. He said, don't be afraid of it. Claim it. Claim the victory. I have the victory. I mean, whenever people get saved and they have the victory over hell and they no longer have to fear it anymore, that's one of the first things that they want to do is go tell somebody about what happened to them. They want to tell somebody. I can't tell you how many young people I led a young man to the Lord here several years ago. And this young man, his name was J.D., and I led that young man to the Lord Father's Day. We was at church on a Father's Day Sunday, and the preacher was up there preaching. He got done preaching, and I was up there on the stage with the preacher, and the invitation was being given, and that young man was down there just bawling his eyes out, and somebody in the congregation walked over and they put their arm around. I didn't know him. I didn't know anything about him. And somebody went over and put their arm around him and said, would you like to go up to the altar and pray? And that kid didn't even give that person a chance to go with them. He just out of that aisle and down there he went. He got in that altar right there, and before I could think twice, somebody's hand was in my back and just shoved me forwards. And I had my Bible in my hand, and I got down there and I led that boy to the Lord, showed him the Scriptures, and I led him to the Lord. About a week or so later, we were walking around in Walmart, and we was out there just fiddling around at Walmart, and all of a sudden I heard somebody scream, hey, preacher! And I turned around and looked, and here this boy was with about four of his friends. And that boy run up to me and amongst all... Now listen, this kid's a senior in high school. Okay? This ain't an 8, 9, 10-year-old. This is a senior in high school. This boy was already enlisted to go into the Marine Corps. Right out of high school, he was leaving for boot camp. That kid run up to me and he grabbed me around the neck and he said, "Hey preacher, how you doing?" And he didn't even give me a chance to answer. He turned around, he had his arm around me. He said, "Guys," he said, "you remember what I told you happened to me? This is the one that did it." And I said, I didn't do it. I said, "The Lord did it." And he said, "Yeah, but you showed me how." He said, "Listen, you guys need this." See, there's something about that when it happens. The first thing somebody wants to do is they want to tell somebody about it. They want to let somebody know. Why is that? Because the Lord said that when you get to victory, you don't need to be afraid to claim the victory. Amen. It ain't. There's a difference in claiming victory and then being arrogant. That's the reason why the Lord wouldn't give a victory into the hands of Gideon when he had 32,000 at his call. But when Gideon had only 300 at his call, and all of them with a water pitcher and a torch, and that's all they had, then he gave the victory to them. Why? Because then they wouldn't say, "Oh, my own hand hath delivered me." And when God gives a victory, His people don't need to be afraid to claim the victory. All right, and lastly, I'm going to say this, 26, "Afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging on the trees until the evening." That's talking about them five kings. Now, I got a little thing I jotted down in the margin of my Bible right over here next to that verse. And it's just because that's what we're talking about, these kings. These kings are the representation of your flesh. Again, it says, "After Joshua smote them, he slew them, hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging up on the trees until the evening." And in the margin over here, I wrote, "Why do you keep getting them back down?" Joshua put them up there on the tree. What are you doing getting them back down? Because listen, whenever you got saved, this thing here just became a corpse. And a lot of times that's all we're doing is running errands for a corpse. Joshua dispatched it. He hung them on a tree. That's where the Bible says, "Cursed be everyone that has." Galatians chapter 3, isn't it? I believe Galatians 3:13. He said, "Cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree." But I tell you, in the previous chapter, he says in Galatians 2:20, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." So if he puts them on the tree, best thing to do is leave them up there. I'm crucified with Christ. What? My flesh is. It's up there. It's on the tree. Jesus Christ gave His flesh. He didn't give His spirit to die. His flesh died. He put His flesh on the tree. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. By His stripes we are healed. Where did He take the stripes? In His flesh. He took His stripes in His flesh. He took the beating in the flesh. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And He could have at any time called for a legion of angels to come, and instead He didn't do it. And He allowed that thing talking to me back there. It's all right. It's letting me know there's updates. But this is exactly what the five kings want you to do. The five kings don't want you claiming a victory. The five kings want you getting them down. They want you to let them down off the cross. And that ain't what you need to do. You and I, as each day goes by, we need to double check the cross and make sure that we ain't put the Lord back up there and let the five kings down. Amen. He went on the cross one time to be a curse for everybody once, but that don't mean we need to keep putting Him up there. But if we willfully allow the kings to get off, then we've chosen to crucify the Spirit and allow it to get back on the cross. I heard it said this way, and I thought it was really good. But in the heart of every believer is the throne and a cross. And if you're on the throne, He's on the cross. But if you'll put you on the cross, He'll sit on the throne. And that's where the five kings belong, is they belong on the cross. And the King of Kings belongs on the throne. Amen. Father, we thank You. Lord, I know this ain't been long, and I know I ain't took too long to do it. And Lord, it may have been just about as simple as it can get. But Father, sometimes that's the best thing we need, is just something simple, because it sticks with us. It'll stay with us. We won't forget it. Father, we pray that You'd go with us now. Help us, lead us, and guide us. Thank You, Lord, for what You're opening the door of opportunity for us to do to help some missionaries. Hope and pray that You bless them tonight, wherever they may be. Pray, Father, that You may just please watch over Brother Bill, and that You just give him, Lord, Your strength tonight. I pray, Father, that You just help us all, Lord, as we go out into the remainder of our week, that we may uplift and glorify Your name, that we may try our best to win as many people as we can to You, and we'll give You all the thanks and the praise for all that You do, and we ask it all for Christ's name and for His sake.